Good morning. It is our pleasure today to have Maximus Bennett Pale in service with us. And you know, Chrissy, I was just wondering, are the words "I can't" in your vocabulary? Well, good, I'm glad they're not. I'm glad. Anyway, it's good to be here today. Here's my disclaimer, okay? I can do that, all right? It says, because I wasn't sure that last week's message was going to be a series until last week, just before the Sunday morning service, the introduction to the message series is going to be the message today. Is that all right?
Yep.
It has to be, okay? Even though it's part two of our new series, which is entitled Fundamental Foundations, all right? Anyway, the title for this morning's message is The Purpose of Principles, all right? The Purpose of Principles. So now that you have gotten very comfortable, why don't you stand with me, please? I feel so powerful being able to do that, you know. We are going to repeat our Bible declaration together. Are you ready?
Ready.
Hold your Bible up and say with me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. Are you ready for the word this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's an architectural fact that the stability and the longevity of a structure is determined by the quality of its foundation. You believe that this morning? All right. And it's a spiritual fact that the stability and longevity of a Christian is determined by the quality of their foundation. And it takes sound biblical doctrine based on sound biblical teaching to establish sound biblical solid foundations in your life. Similarly, where there is an absence of sound biblical doctrine based on sound biblical teaching, there is an instability and a lack of durability in the people of God. In other words, sound biblical doctrine based on sound biblical teaching equals stable, strong Christians. Unsound biblical doctrine not based on sound biblical teaching equals unstable, weak Christians. A Christian's ability to discern and make good decisions according to godly wisdom, which I think is something we all want to do, is lacking and impaired when they are unstable. All right? That's why it's so important that we avail ourselves to the solid teaching of the fundamental Bible doctrines, all right? Or as the Bible calls it, the first principles of the kingdom of God for the building of your foundation. They have to be there. They just have to be there. Does that make sense to you this morning?
Yes.
Have you ever gone through your life, and whether you're talking about spiritual things or whatever, what you end up saying is, I think I missed something. Yeah, I think I missed something along the way. I don't know what it is, but boy, I think I missed something. Well, I hope you're going to find out what that is in this series, all right? Because we're going to look at the biblical foundations that we have to build in our life. The truth is, all right, you are headed for trouble if you lack a biblical-based foundation in your life. You're headed for trouble. You could end up making catastrophic spiritual calculations and defective decisions that have long-lasting consequences in your life. And that's something that I don't think anybody here wants to do. But it's so tragic when people make the wrong spiritual decisions that adversely impact the course of their life, if you will, and their relationships, and even decisions that affect their destiny in Christ, because you can do that. And maybe you know people that have done this. Maybe you can look at their life and you can say, boy, they should have made some decisions differently earlier on. Maybe you have done this. Maybe you are one of those people that are going, you know, I really have missed something. But more than likely, you recognize that those people who have done this, all right, were people who were very sincere when they made those wrong decisions. I've seen people make terrible decisions, but they're sincere in making those terrible decisions, all right? They really are. So you have to ask yourself, how did they come to those wrong conclusions? Well, this is why. They were deficient in their knowledge of the ABCs of their faith, all right? Because those things are required, if you will, before anyone can move on to a higher level in spiritual growth. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you need to build on. We have to understand there are consequences. Say there are consequences. There are consequences to remaining unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now let's go back to Hebrews 5:12 and pick up on the message that the writer of Hebrews was conveying to his readers. But first, Serena, would you come up and pray?
Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is present in this place. We can do nothing without the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, and that truth will set us free. God, I thank you for your truth today. I thank you for your word that richly dwells within our hearts so that we won't sin against you. May we hide your word in our heart, God, to always stand on that word and have it lead us in a path that is full of life and truth, your ways, Father. I thank you for teaching us your ways, that we walk in your truth, that you give us an undivided heart, that we have a holy, reverential, obedient fear of you. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, guide Pastor West now. Guide
thank
him.
You, Lord.
And let his words speak directly to each one of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Let revelation, knowledge, and wisdom flow from this pulpit today, God. And may, Holy Spirit, you have your way in each individual's life,
Lord.
Here and heart. In Jesus' name,
mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Serena. Hebrews 5:12, and you can turn there if you like. Maybe you should. You might want to write something down there. But Hebrews 5:12 says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." All right, we're going to just tear this apart a little bit, all right? The word teach that's used in this verse comes from the Greek word didasko, okay, didasko. And it describes the systematic learning of a student through an ever-present instruction of a teacher. So this is the equivalent of what the author of the book of Hebrews is saying here. You need to go back to the beginning. All right? You need to go back to the beginning and start all over again. You need a teacher who will sit by you and establish you systematically in truth, the truth that you didn't get when you were younger. All right, that's what he's saying. How many of you know there isn't anything new under the sun? If we can miss something, they can miss something, right? Okay, and that's what the writer of Hebrews, and nobody's sure who that is. It's been narrowed down to Paul or Apollos, but that's what he's trying to get across. Then the verse continues, stating that these same believers had become such as have need of milk and not solid food. The word milk is translated from the Greek word that simply means milk, okay? Just milk. Or the substance that is given to sucklings. And it carries with it the meaning of baby's food. Let that sink in a little bit. So even though these believers had been saved for a long time, possibly even for decades, still the writer of Hebrews basically told them, you're so undeveloped spiritually in the word of God that you're still on milk. You're still a suckling spiritually, and you are unable to consume me. In other words, you're still on baby's food. You're still on baby's food. And again, so what he's saying is this, you are still on baby food and not really ready for solid food, and you should be. So these so-called mature believers weren't able to consume or even handle more advanced food or solid food. They were still on the milk of the word. And we talk about that a lot, but I wonder how much we really understand what it means. But they were still on the milk of the word, even though they had been saved for a long time, and they had experienced all kinds of things. They had gone through all kinds of things. Verse 13 goes on to say, everyone. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. That's quite a hack, you know? That's quite an accusation. The word unskillful comes from the Greek word apiros, which is a form of the word periazo, okay? And it means to test, all right? But when you put an A, and we've talked about this before, but when you put an A in the front of a word, okay, at the beginning of a word, this word becomes aperos, which means something unskilled or something untested or something undeveloped or underdeveloped, and finally, someone who is inexperienced. So here, again, the writer of Hebrews is saying this to you and I. The people who are not really established in foundational truths and who are inexperienced in deeper spiritual truths and matters and who are undeveloped spiritually, these people will come to illogical spiritual conclusions. All right? So this verse is actually saying that everyone who's on milk, everyone who's on milk or on baby food, the baby food of the word, is undeveloped, unskilled, and inexperienced in the word of righteousness. Now notice the thing that's real consistent here. It talks about the word of righteousness. All right? What are you unskilled in? The word of God. Okay? You don't know the word. You don't know what's written. Okay? And it's important for us to understand this phrase, the word of righteousness, that's used here, because it indicates a very high level of spirituality. The church is unfortunately filled with people who fit the description given by the author of Hebrews, okay? Now, I'm not pointing a finger at you, but the church is filled with that. They ought to be spiritual adults, okay? They ought to be spiritual adults by now, but they are still spiritual infants because they have not been exercised by the what? By the word of God. Consequently, there's a great number of modern day Christians who are confused about what is morally right and what is morally wrong. Are you with me?
Yes.
You only need to look at the things that are happening in churches nowadays, the things that are changing and the things that they are accepting now that they weren't accepting before, to understand that that's true. But these Christians, and I say this in love, okay? They remain silent, okay? And they even stumble on issues like homosexuality, gender confusion, and adultery or fornication, and so on. And those things just destroy people's minds, amen? And their emotions and their families and their lives. And they do it primarily out of confusion. They don't know what's going on, or out of fear of being viewed as judgmental or not showing the love of Christ. But without the foundation of the Word of God, and like it says in Ephesians 4:14, it says that we should no longer be children. All right? Part of no longer being children is knowing how to say something to those who are confused. And it isn't getting in their face. It's just explaining to them. It's not condemning them, all right? It's explaining to them where maybe they're wrong, okay? Are you with me? But it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That's a tough scripture. These spiritual babes, if you will, often don't know what the Bible teaches on the most basic of subjects. And unfortunately, many of them don't even understand what the Bible teaches about eternal judgment. They just don't know. They haven't taken the time to be exercised by the Word. They think that just because they're in Christ that they will never see judgment. But this helps explain why there's a large amount of present-day believers who, like infants, now hear this, please. Like infants, have put a lot of spiritual poison into their spiritual mouths, okay, or into their spiritual eyes. that isn't safe for consumption, for the Christian or really for the non-Christian. What am I talking about? I'm talking about compromise. I'm talking about, all right, I like TV, okay? But I'm talking about the shows that you now watch that you never would have watched before. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the things that you allow into your house over the internet that you never would have. Boy, you'd have hit escape, cancel, whatever, quickly. But now, you know, you're mature enough to take it. Okay, I'll stop. And as a result of this mixing of truth with incorrect teachings, it not only weakens their foundation or your foundation and minimizes your ability to produce fruit that will endure, because it does, it can also pull them so far off course or pull you so far off course that it eventually results in a spiritual shipwreck in all other areas of your life. Boy, I shouldn't have come to church this morning, right? Well, you would have watched it on TV anyway, right? Right? Okay. But this is what happens when Christians don't know their Bible. Come on, people. Amen? This is what happens when Christians don't know their Bible. I mean, they have no firm foundation on which to build. They have nowhere to start. So they take a guess on where to start. And they take a guess from the media. They take a guess from the popular opinion. And I'm sorry, but it's wrong many times. I am. These elementary principles of the Word of God are essential in order for them to mature and be able to walk God's plan for their lives out as spiritual adults. How many here this morning want to be spiritual adults? Amen? I wouldn't want to be, even if I wasn't in the ministry, I wouldn't want to be considered a spiritual babe or exemplify behavior that showed and proved that I was a spiritual babe. And one of the things that can actually happen is you can actually devastate your destiny by refusing sound doctrine. What do I mean? You can mess up the rest of your life by trying to build on something that isn't right. When believers lack this foundational knowledge, this verse explains how God sees them. He sees them as spiritual babies or spiritual babes. The word babe is the Greek word nepios. The meaning of the word simply describes, now get ready for this, all right? It simply describes a suckling or an infant still nursing at the mother's breast. And how many of you know that you don't want to be there spiritually? Amen? Amen? Well, but how do I not be there spiritually? By learning the Word of God, okay? Understanding what it says and how it applies to your life today. It's not just a history book, amen? It applies to you today. All right. The next verse points you and I in the direction that we want to pursue. Hebrews 5:14 says the following, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." I'm getting more of full age every day. My hair shows it. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What do we know about solid food? You know, what is solid food? Solid food, for one thing, is consumed by adults, right? Those who are of full age. And it's what's required for an adult to maintain their health and to remain strong. We need solid food. The phrase full age that is used here is a Greek word which describes an adult with adult responsibilities. I've got those. I wish I didn't have those. It was so much easier when I didn't have to adult 24 hours a day. Amen? Amen? Amen. I tell my kids, and don't listen right now, okay? But I tell my kids, you don't know what it's like to adult. You know, you want to grow up, but do you want to adult 24 hours a day? They say they do. Now, this is what we desire for ourselves and for our children, our family members and our friends, really for everyone that we care about, right? Is that they don't remain a spiritual baby. We don't want anyone to stay in kindergarten, if you will, for the rest of their lives, not emotionally, not in their talent, not in their gifting, not in their maturity, and certainly not in their spiritual maturity. You see, when you stepped into, you know, accepting Jesus into your life, okay, allowing him to come in and be Lord, the truth is, okay, the truth is, you stepped into a life that's moving. Amen? Do you know what I mean? You better be constantly on the move, maturing every day, all the time. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa, okay? Of course, she's dead, isn't she? Maybe not the best example. But you got to be moving all the time. No matter how spiritual you might think you are, there's always more to learn. We want everyone, right, to become of full age or get to full age, prepared to handle every aspect of life, every battle in life, and to handle all of those wisely and maturely as spiritual adults. And I wish every spiritual battle that came along in my life, you know, I wish I would handle it as a spiritual adult. I try to handle it as a spiritual adult, and you should try to handle it as a spiritual adult. Sometimes we slip, and we become babes, right? But our goal has got to be spiritual adults. But let's look at the benefits of spiritual adulthood, okay, as we try to understand this. In Hebrews 5:14, we find that when you graduate spiritually, when you get off the milk of the word and begin to consume solid food, That solid food nurtures you and matures you, okay, so that you can begin to think and behave like a spiritual adult, okay? The solid food of the word, okay? You might think, you're just too focused on the word. No, I don't think I'm focused enough on the word. It will change your life. Amen? Amen? It will change who you are. You know, if you got something in your life that you want to change, that needs to be changed, get into the Word and let that Word work inside of you, be exercised inside of you, and watch the change happen. Because you know what? When you try to do it on your own, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. In fact, the verse goes on to say that strong meat or solid food belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That word exercise is translated from the Greek word gymnazo, okay? It's where we get the word gymnasium. But the literal meaning of this word pictures an athlete who exercises, are you ready? Naked. This word was specifically used to describe athletes who were completely committed to their preparation and their training. And as a result, they were successful in their competition. So before they trained or competed, they would strip off all of their clothes and remove every possible impediment because they wanted their limbs to be able to be moved freely without external garments to hinder their movement or get in their way. And I know this is a vivid example, okay? But it represents a serious spiritual commitment, all right, that's required for us to walk our Christian walk. No, I'm not telling you to do that. But I'm telling you, throw aside every weight, right? I think I read that somewhere. And begin to pursue, begin to run, you know, with abandon after God. And I think that's what with the church today. And I remember in the 1980s, it was so crazy, just get on fire for God. Man, you went to church and you saw things happen and worship was great and you couldn't wait till the evening service. You know what I mean? And man, those were even better. You know, in fact, if you were given a choice, you would have gone to the evening service instead of the morning service because in the evening service, the Holy Spirit was just so palpable. And there has been a change somehow. And I don't know when it came and I don't know exactly what it is, but I know this much. That we can reclaim what we had, amen? We can reclaim that fire that we had if we just lay aside some of the things that take all of our time and allow God to take that time. Amen? It's like fasting, right? You know, when was the last time you fasted? But when you fast, do you just miss a meal, or do you pray during that normally during that time when you would eat? Do you pray during that time? Or is fasting just, well, hey, it's a diet? Are you with me? Amen. And I'm not trying to be in any way talking down to anybody. But I know that there's more. Okay? I know that there's more. I've experienced more. Have you? Amen. Then there's no reason why we can't experience more. We have to be committed in our Christian walk. And we are to be among those that say, I am so committed to the successful outcome of the spiritual race that's set before me that I am diligently working on removing every hindrance from my life. And that's what being a Christian is all about. Come on. It's about working every moment of every day, getting every hindrance out of your life. As soon as the Holy Spirit shows you that this thing is in the way, you get rid of it. And you get closer to the Lord. When the Word of God is working in your heart and mind, you become exercised by it. Amen? So you can come to the place of spirituality where you're able to discern good and evil, just like it says in Hebrews 5:14. The word discern, it's a Greek term that means to perceive, to discern, or to judge. That's what it means, all right? As the Word of God works on the inside of you, or you are exercised by it, it elevates you to a higher level in the Lord. That's the only way you can get there. All right? When you're in that place, you don't have to stop and wonder things like, oh, I wonder what God's will is in this situation. Oh, I wonder what Jesus would do. Because you already, okay, you will have already discerned His will because you know His word. Oh, come on, people. Come on. And you know how to act spiritually because you have grown into a spiritual adult. Here's another important point about the word exercise, okay? That Greek word gymnazo that we mentioned earlier. It also pictures the fiercest kind of battle. How many of you know that since you've been a Christian, you would have to say that you have gone through some of the fiercest battles? I mean, you thought and somebody told you that it was going to be all smooth sailing, everything was going to be great, and Jesus. Well, I found it real quick that wasn't true, you know. But it talks about it being the fiercest kind of exercise, all right? So the writer of Hebrews is referring to serious, strenuous spiritual activity, battles that we go through. He wrote that when you're exercised by the Word, you commit yourself to allowing the Word to do its full work in you, which is that process that that brings you to a position of maturity in which you are able to discern good and evil. I think the idea of discernment, I should say the gift of discernment, is wonderful. I think the trying to exercise of the discernment has been over messed up, and people just think it's a license to say critical things. Yes. Okay, I won't go any farther. We saw that the word discern means to perceive or to judge. But it also pictures just good old common sense. Within the meaning of the word, it's just good old common sense. When the word is working in you, and your natural senses and faculties are being exercised by the Word of God, you'll have the ability to perceive what is right and what is wrong. I want the Word of God working in me so that when I'm confronted with issues, I don't have to sit there and wonder, what would God do? What would Jesus do? What does He want me to do? I would just know that it's good or it's bad. And I know that the good I receive and the bad I throw out. I know that the good, I am drawn to that, and the bad, I'm going to repel. Amen? I don't care how mature you are. When you first got saved, you wanted to repel anything that was bad, that was evil, that was not for you. And now since you've matured, things have changed. But they haven't changed. They haven't changed. Evil is evil. It was evil. It's still evil. And it doesn't matter what some churches say. It matters what this says. It doesn't matter what I say. It matters what this says. All right? All right. Amen? I want you to know the Bible is continually working in you. Okay? Continually working in you. And you've continually been exercised by the Word. You've been consuming solid food. And as a result, you already know what's right and what's wrong. Okay? You already know. God's message that is really conveyed in these verses is this, all right? When a person is exercised by Scripture, when it's working in them, his or their mind will become so sharpened that they will have both more spiritual wisdom and more common sense, which is so lacking in the world today. More common sense than most people. I wonder if that's because there's less reading of the Bible than there used to be. I'll start over. When a person is exercised by Scripture, their mind will become so sharpened that they will have both more spiritual wisdom and more common sense than most people. He or she will be able to quickly perceive what is right or wrong in situations that arise. People, Christians, who are indoctrinated in biblical truths are simply, and this sounds conceited, but they're simply out in front of the rest of the crowd. All right? They are, when it comes to wisdom and common sense. And that's exactly what this verse teaches. Exactly what it teaches. They are easily able to look at a given situation or a doctrine that's presented to them or a statement of faith and say, that's crazy. That's nuts. Or that's right. You know, that's right. Amen. Because their inner man and their mind are so exercised by the Word of God and God's eternal truths that have inwardly and mentally developed them as a result of consuming God's Word. Are you with me? What am I saying? You're going to be mature and become more mature as you consume the Word of God. I think there's so much more than we think to the word consume. It isn't just casually reading, all right? It's consuming the Word of God. I mean, it's when the Holy Spirit points out a scripture to you, you stop and you read it again. Or if you read a certain chapter, you go, whoa, I got to get my three chapters. And no, you go back and find out why he's focusing you on that chapter. Seek his face. Amen? Seek what his word is saying to you today. I believe that every day of your life, if you will get into the word and ask God to show you something for today, I believe out of experience that he will show you.
Amen.
But as you diligently continue your own spiritual pursuit, all right, you'll advance to ever higher levels in the Lord. Yeah, there's levels in the Lord. I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not. I'm talking about, are you able to walk in victory? Come on. Are you able to give God the glory in every situation in your life? When you are confronted with evil, are you still able to give God the glory? And your part is to obey the principles that you already know. Right? That's why, you know, what God does, you know, he will give you principles, and then you move on to principles. And when you think you know it all, he gives you principles. All right? And then when you know it all, he gives you principles. Amen? And I think as you're faithful to do that, and I believe that's what the Word of God is teaching, God will teach you more from his word about what it means to act spiritually as an adult, handling wisely the affairs of life. I handle things now differently than I handled them years ago, okay? and saved, you know, I'm talking about in the time that I was saved, I hopefully handled them more like a spiritual adult than a spiritual infant. The reason why I give you the Greek definitions of the words is for us to understand the fact that if God views us as a spiritual babe, if we can only, you know, only take in the milk of the word, it should be very obvious to you right now that you're so immature. You're back at the very, you're still on your mother's breast. I mean, that's huge, right? Amen. I mean, that gives you an idea of what in the spirit you appear like. Maybe I should have stopped a little bit before that. But as you're faithful to do that, as you're faithful to consume God's word, as you're faithful to get those foundations placed in the right place in your life, you're going to get to the place where more and more you respond and react as a spiritual adult, handling wisely the affairs of this life. And I don't think there's anything that we would want to do more than that, right? Amen? Is just handle what we have to handle, but handle them spiritually properly and as an adult. But this is the process that God has for every one of his children to undergo. And you can say, well, Wes, you know, all you had to do is read the Bible all week. You don't do nothing. You work on Sunday, and then go out to dinner. That's just not true. It's for every one of God's children. All right? Do you understand that? The hunger that I preach that you should have in your life is not hunger that I should have. It is. But it's hunger that you should have. You know what I mean? When I preach something that seems to like I'm giving you this huge goal to hit, that's the one to shoot for, not something down here. I have to shoot for that, but you have to shoot for it too. I know the Bible says, "Be ye not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation." But and what it's saying is, don't desire to be a teacher, because you know what? You're going to be judged more strictly. But I'm not concerned because it's my calling, okay? I'm not concerned because it's my calling. But it's everybody's calling to at least let their life teach and their reactions teach. And that you are actually mentoring people when you're responding in life. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's all I have for you. I hope that's enough. Why don't you bow your heads?